Last night we were talking about Second Peter, and Second Peter, when he wrote these epistles, is the time he was about to depart this tent, this earth. So he was going to die, and he tried to use every opportunity to encourage members. And of course, we do know he was the apostle, and like a minister, like a pastor today. And even before his death, he just tried to use every opportunity to remind members. So for him, there is no retirement. Not retirement, because retirement means after you quit the job, after you leave the job, then you have nothing to do with the work, with the job. You don't have to care about the company, you don't have to care about anything. But for Peter, no, there is no retirement. And in the GA system, all the pastors, if their age reach to 70 years old, then they have to retire. Like me, I'm 60. After 10 years, then I cannot continue the minister. I have to retire. It's a regulation. But to Peter, no retirement. Even before he died, and he also want to encourage members. So let's turn to 2 Peter, verse 14. Verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. Put off my tent. Put off my tent. The tent, which means this earth. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul also used the same term, tent. Tent. So tent in this world. So I will put off and put on the new life, put on the new garment, and this the old garment, this tent, this world, which means he was about to die for Jesus Christ, because Jesus ever said, when you get older, then I will bring you to somewhere you don't like to go, and this refers to how Peter would die for Jesus Christ. So we turn to chapter 1, verse 16 to verse 18. And this paragraph recorded in Gospel, Matthew, Luke, and Mark. Because Peter and the other two disciples, they are eyewitnesses of Jesus' transfiguration. And they also heard the voice from above say, "This is my beloved son, you should obey him, you should hear him." So we have to obey Jesus Christ because God says so. God said, "This is my beloved son." And God testified, "This is my beloved son." And in a dead time, Peter and the other disciples said, "Lord, this is very good for us. It's good for us. So let us build up three tents for Moses and for who? For Elijah and for you, because it's so nice to be here. We don't like to depart from here. So when we see, when we experience Jesus' transfiguration, so it was so nice. So if you touch Jesus, if we experience Jesus, we feel so fulfillment. We feel so joyful. So everybody, including me, all the pastors, all the ministers, all the council members, all the members, have to experience God, experience Jesus himself. When we indeed experience him, then we will say, God, it is so good for us. It is good for us. So to be here, like, to be chapel, to be church, to be in a family. So you don't feel family, there is no love in family. You won't say, my parents is so unreasonable. You won't, because the family, when you pray to God, then there is the kingdom of God. When you pray to God, then Jesus will be with you. Then when you experience Jesus, then it was so nice to stay there, to stay in the family, to stay with your parents. You will have no heart to leave your house. When you, after a couple of years, when you attended college, you have to attend a different college. Maybe the college is far away from your house. But that's not yours. You have to leave your house because you want to study. I study for the near future, for the church, for serving God. So just for the time being. But one day you leave the house, you should not say, oh, hooray, finally, I want to depart from my parents. No, you should not say so. Because your family is the way Jesus abide. Okay. So they experience Jesus, how wonderful it is. Verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. The morning star. What does it mean, morning stars? So when the morning stars rise in our heart, then we will know the word of God. We will know the prophecy. Because the prophecy in the Old Testament, we just guess, right? Because we cannot fully understand what does it mean. And then some people try to interpret the word of God by their own way, by their own ideas, by their own experiences. But Peter encouraged us, we have to wait until the morning stars arise. Why we have to wait? Because all the Bibles are talking about Jesus Christ. All the Bible, including Old Testament, are talking about the Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, prophesied Jesus Christ. Even they did not use this term Jesus, but they used another language to refer to any type, Jesus Christ. So, we have to wait until Jesus Christ appeared in our heart. Let Jesus Christ explain itself. Because talk about him, all the books talk about him. When the book talk about David, what is David? When the book talk about you, then you cannot understand. Then whom you should ask? Ask David, right? Because all the book, I wrote a book, right? I just write a book. Oh, talk about David. Okay. Yeah. And you say, I could not understand this sentence. Okay, what does it mean? You ask me? No, you don't have to ask me, right? Ask who? Ask David. Because this book talk about his life. His life, his study, his academic reward. Right? So ask him, how do this the scientific job, right? How to do that? Ask him. So in the same way, when we do the Bible, when we could not understand, ask who? Ask Jesus. Because all the Bibles talk about Jesus. And why do we know the morning stars refer to Jesus Christ? Let's turn to Revelation. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. 2, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the church. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, morning star. So who is the morning star? Jesus. Jesus testified for himself. He said, I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Okay. So when we do the Bible and we can understand, we have to ask God, ask Jesus Christ to show us, to ask of him, because all about him. Okay, and then we go back, 2 Peter, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is one of private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay. We can see the interpretation, of course, all the denominations have their own interpretation, but actually interpretation belongs, all interpretations belongs to God, belong to God. Let's turn to Genesis, chapter 14, verse 8. Genesis, chapter 14, verse 8. Verse 8. And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter for it, of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Do not interpretations belong to God? So interpretations belong to God. Okay, belong to God, not belong to us. So we have to interpret the Bibles according to God's way, according to the Bible, according to the word of Jesus Christ. Because interpretations belong to God. However, some people interpret by their own will. So how to interpret the Bible? Because we try to interpret. When you do the Bible, when you need the Bible study, then you have to do the Bible, right? Then you have to explain to the members. So how can we do it? Three level, three aspects we have to take heed. The first one is understand the meaning of the text by itself. What does it mean? In a Bible's time, like when we read the Old Testament, it happened in maybe 3,000 years ago. Right? So we have to understand what people were thinking at that time, 3,000 years ago. How did they think? We have to understand. So we have to understand their culture. Of course, we should not understand in our terms. Because like the Old Testament is saying, they kill all the Canaanites, all the Canaanites, including baby, including cow, including sheep, including all, they kill everything. But today, when people read this passage, they just restart. Why God is so cruel, right? Why God, it is so cruel. God is a merciful God, but why God command his people kill all the other nations? Why? Right. So we cannot use our term, we cannot use our today's thinking, today's mentality, today's attitude to judge the people in Old Testament. Because their environment, the idols, is filled with the society. Idols is filled with their society. Everywhere, every family, even Gideon, you know, this morning we learned Gideon, right? Even they have idols in their house. Yeah. Gideon's family, Gideon, God tried to use him to rescue his people, and yet they had idol, right? So that's why God said, you have to kill all the people, otherwise you will be enticed by them, you will be tempted by their idols, you will be influenced, you will be polluted by their thinking, by their way. So you have to kill all of them. This is in Old Testament. And then in Old Testament, we can go back to history, right? Maybe 1,000 years ago, in Qin Dynasty, in Ming Dynasty, in UK, right? You are something from UK, right? UK, right? Maybe 400 years ago, it's a king system, right? It's king. A king is the lord, right? King. So whatever king says, then that's it. Right? They don't need a law, right? They don't need a law. Now, we have a Senate, we have a Supreme Court, right, to explain the law. But they don't have to. Who is the top authority to explain the law? King. When king says kill, then you got to kill some people. When king says save his life, even he committed murder, he killed 1,000 people. Right? When king says, okay, don't worry, spare his life, then we have to spare his life. So the Old Testament, in the old times, is this way. So everybody kill each other, like in the Middle East. They have, when they have different regions, and might kill all the people, right, who are different from their religion. They just kill, because different religion. They don't like you. They don't like this. People live under the lifestyle is different from them. They don't like it. That's a key. But this is back in old times. And then when we read the Bible, we have to understand the background. We have to understand what message God wants to lay us to learn. We have to understand the message. Like God said, you have to kill all the peoples because God wants his people to be holy, not be influenced, not be polluted by other people. So this we have to understand the text. Yeah. Then second level, we have to understand what this passage benefits. Yeah, benefit to my spirituality, to me, what benefit to me. When you read what I can apply to in my daily life, because my daily life have some struggles, challenges, competition, and difficulties. So how I can gain any wisdom, any comfort from this passage? So edify yourself first. Then the third level is because after we read, sometimes I want to share with my brothers and sisters, right? Share with other brothers and sisters. So share. How to share? When I share, then we have to know how to say, right? How to say in our language. How to say in our language. So when you later the brother want to sign up for the pastor, for the TDP, then you have like a mean, right, to deliver sermon. Then sometimes when I read the Bible, I was so touched by the word of God. But it doesn't mean I can say clearly to congregation, right, to congregations. Because when I read the Bible and was touched, was moved by the word of God, doesn't mean I know how to encourage members. Two different ways. You know, so many members, they do the Bible, they were touched by the Bible, by the Word of God. But when they say, okay, how about you come up to say, to to say your reflection, to say your devotion. One day come up, I'm sorry, I don't know how to say. Yeah. So many members like this, you know, I don't know how to say. So what it is a third level. How to deliver, sermon, how to share what you receive from the Bible, what you receive from Lord, from God. So three levels. The first one is we have to understand the text, the meaning, right? The God back then, we have to understand their background, their idea, their thinking, even their language, right? Their system. And then edify ourselves, and they were qualified to share and to learn how to share with brothers and sisters. Okay. Then we go back to chapter 2 in 2 Peter. Whole chapter 2 talking about false prophet. False prophet. In Jesus' time, even in Jesus' time, somebody proclaimed they are prophet, but actually it's a false prophet. And also in apostolic time, some people raise up and then say, I'm prophet. Actually, they are not. So, chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 3, talking about the characteristics of the false prophet. And from 4 to 9, the Bible testifies the false prophet, including the people in Noah's age, also in Lot's age. Right? Even angels. Yeah. And 10 to 22, talking about how false prophets live. How is their life, actually life. Chapter 2, verse 1. Here we can see the false prophet deliver the destructive heresies, destructive, not constructive, destructive. Destructive heresy. So all the heresies will bring destruction to us. So be careful. And what is a heresy? Heresy is head, H-E-R-E, means object, means separate. Yeah. Like homosex, same sex, heterosex, right? It is a different sex, object sex, like a man and woman. And homosex is a man, a woman, woman. So head, which means different. So different doctrines from the Word of God, different doctrines and different ways, different thinking from the way of God. So we call heresies. And nowadays, very great majority not listen to heresies. And the traditional way. The people tired of the traditional way. Because every time when people come to the church, they listen, they hope, they listen, faith, they listen, love, they listen, Jesus, this Jesus died, right? So I'm so tired of old news. And even updated news, you know, sometimes the TV news, it is all update, truly news, break news, they call break news. Then, I have to pay attention what's going on, right? What happening to this earth? What happened to United States? Wow, second time is 9/11. Second 9/11. First 11 happened in 2011, right? 2011. And now, second time 9/11. Break news. Then we'll draw everybody's attention, right? If we're talking about 9/11 in 2011, in the year of 2011, then you say, cross, shut up, turn off the TV. Because old story, right? You don't have to listen again. But if the new story, second time of 9/11 just happened in LA, around Bowen Park Church. It's around Bowen Park Church, where? You just pay attention, fully attention. Even you are eating or you play computer games or you just email to someone, you will lay aside the work, right, to watch the TV. So the old story, the people say, this is nothing. Many people interested in heresy. So be careful, watch. And many denominations preach the heresies. Whatever they preach is quite different from the Bible. And back then, because the Bible says, Lord Jesus Christ is God, and the Word became flesh and come to this earth. So Jesus Christ is 100% the people. The man, right, is 100%, not you and me, is 100% human being. And he also is 100% God. We believe that Jesus Christ is 100% man, not you and me. When you punch Jesus, Jesus will say, ouch, why you punch me? It's all painful, hurt. Yeah. Same like you and me. And he also 100% God. However, some people will say, Jesus just look like God, look like a man. When he was crucified in the cross, right? Actually, he didn't feel any pain. They said he didn't feel any pain because he is God. How come God can feel pain? God being crucified. Because they consider God, Jesus just look like human being, look like. So they call dualism. Dualism means that same, just look like, not a real man, not a real man. And other people said, when Jesus was baptized by John, and Jesus actually is man, is normal man, like you and me. Right? But he was like a Confucian. Confucian? Do you know the Confucian? Raise your hand. Okay, Confucian. Confucian lived up maybe 25,000 years ago. And he was a high moral standard people, high moral standard. Back then, everybody tried to steal money from the next door, but he said, no. Even somebody dropped their purse, dropped their wallet on the street. Don't pick it up, because when he dropped the wallet in the street, he might come back to search. He might come back to pick up, right? To get it back, his wallet. So don't pick it up. So, Confucian has a high standard morality. Well, such kind of people just consider Jesus just like Confucian, because he was so high morality, and God just adopted Jesus as his son. Like when you go to Africa, then you say, this children is good, right? Then I adopted him as my own daughter, as my own son, because he was so cute, or she was so cute. And then, I want to adopt this one. So same way, God saw Jesus so cute, and so lovely, and so kind, and so nice. So God wants to adopt him as a son. So not a real God, just a human being. But two different ways to know Jesus at the time. Doesn't matter Docetism or adoptionism. We call adoptionism. Yeah. And docetism. Yeah. D-O-C-E-T-I-S-M. You know, and the other one is adoption. Adoption. And then you just put it S-M. Right? It will become some theory. Yeah. Whatever you put S-M, S-M, term, term. Right? Then will become some theory. Docetism. Right? And adoption. So how to discern is it truth or heresy? Just turn to 1 John. Chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. 2. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So first step, how to discern the people who proclaim Jesus Christ, who preach Jesus Christ, is a true prophet or false prophet. If a true prophet, they will confess Jesus Christ is truly world become flesh, totally flesh. In a second step. Verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Is it the world hears them? Hears them. Many false prophets, they have a lot of followers, a lot of congregations. We call mega church, mega. Last week, maybe last month, I watched the TV news, and the TV camera just shoot young people, young guy dancing in the big room, in the big buildings inside, dancing and some music. So a lot of people dancing. And also the gentleman just stand on the pulpit, and tattoo everywhere. The camera just shoot this thing, picture. And then the reporter said, do you know where it is? Do you know where? It's a theater? No. It's chapel. It's a church. Congregation. And pastor. Everybody so different from normal, from traditional church. The pastor tattoo everywhere, pastor, and wear jean, right? And the t-shirt just put outside, not inside, like me, put inside, right? The old tradition, yeah. Put the t-shirt inside, yeah. But a new style pastor just put outside and wear jean, and then tattoo everywhere, even neck, even on the neck tattoo, and then on the pulpit, preach Jesus. Jesus is our Lord. Oh, Jesus is so great, so merciful. We put our trust on him. He will solve our problems. He will solve our daily life problems. So come to the church. And can you imagine that? The person, all body, like body, tattooed everywhere. And then preach the gospel. It's a new style, right? And a lot of people follow him. A lot of people. 40,000 members. I didn't see any members who are 18 years old. Or the young guy, young, got young back dancing, man. But then this the music, oh, so good, they make us high, get high, right? Happy, forgot all the stress in the company. Heresy. So don't admire the mega church. And don't belittle us, don't belittle TJC. TJC is nothing. See how many congregation members here? We have a truth. Okay, then continue on chapter 4. Verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. If they are truth, if they are the children of God, then they will hear us. Many truth seekers, when they come to our church first time, then usually we will tell them how to pray. We say just easy. You just kneel down and close your eyes and say, Hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I say, do you know Hallelujah? Yeah, I know Hallelujah. And I say many times in every day. I say many times, Hallelujah, Amen, Hallelujah, right? Hallelujah, it's good. Then I say, how about when you pray? So they say, Hallelujah. Okay. It's okay, but when we kneel down to pray, they just shut up their mouth. They won't say Hallelujah. They won't listen to us. They won't listen to us. They won't. They won't listen to us. So we can tell, if anyone is of God, then they will listen to us. They will listen to us. Then they will receive the Holy Spirit. If they humble themselves, then they will receive the Holy Spirit. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So by this we will know. The first thing, if they confess our Lord Jesus Christ, is the word become flesh. And then two, if they belong to God, then they will listen to us. They will follow the truth because we talk about the truth. Okay, let's turn to, go back, 2 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah. So even angels sinned against God also be cast down into hell to waiting for the last judgment. So how terrible. So when we commit a sin, immoral sin, we commit great sin. And God will cast us down to the hell to waiting for the judgment. Even in our naked eyes, we cannot see. But in spiritual eyes, those people who committed sins knew because they have conscience. There was a sister who committed sexual immorality. And after she committed sexual immorality, she feels so guilty. She feels so guilty. And one night, because she could not stand, she could not take anymore. So she tried to commit suicide because she cannot take. She just, in her conscience, just struck her. And one night, she just dropped the car to the highway. She tried to hit someone, committed suicide, end her life because she cannot take. So for her rest of life, just waiting for the judgment. Nothing he can do, just waiting for the judgment. See how pitiful. So do not commit sin, especially sexual immorality. Okay, then turn to second paragraph, verse 12. Okay, verse 8. We go back in verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deed. Right? So we can see Lot live in Gomorrah and Sodom. And every day he heard and he saw the unlawful deed among their people. So he feels so sorrowful. He feels so sorrowful. That's why if we agree whatever our friend did, then we have trouble. If we agree with him, even we did not do it, but we agree with him. Let's turn to Romans. Chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, last verse. Romans chapter 1, last verse 32. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things, you didn't, right? Those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So those who actually practice the unlawfulness thing, little things, then the end is destruction, right? And death. And also, for those who approve, those who practice, even you did not do it. But if you agree with their deeds, then God also puts you accountable. So we have to feel sorrowful and disagree with them and walk away from them. Otherwise, God won't put a mark on our forehead, right? Like Ezekiel chapter 9, we read yesterday. So if we feel sorrowful and we disapprove them and disagree with them, then God will put a mark on our forehead. So let's turn back to 2 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 17. These are wheels without water, clouds carried by the tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So even those people, they are so eloquent. They are very good speakers. So many followers. But their destiny is destruction. Like wheels without water. So don't admire them. Don't admire. So many people outside just like wheels, but not water inside, no spirit inside. But we have a full of spirit. We have a life, abundant life, which Jesus gave us. So we have to cherish our status and maintain our status. So how to handle the temptation? Do you have any temptation? Do you have temptation? Raise your hand. You have temptation. Okay. How to handle it? How do you handle it? The first thing, walk away. When you have an urge, when you have an urge or drive to play computer games or to watch bad website, close computer, turn off, walk away. It's just walk outside, right? To exercise, right? Or to buy the phone to Debbie, to Jiang, right? To talk, hey, how are you doing? Okay, I'm okay, right? Okay. What are you doing now? Do the Bible. It's good. Not watch bad movie, bad website, right? So when you have such an urge, stop it. Okay? Hallelujah, stop it. Try stop it. Walk away. Walk away from the computer. Walk away. Then pray to God. Pray. You gotta pray. Pray with your friend. Pray with your companion. Your friend, your good friend. Here you make some good friends, right? So call them, pray together, even on the phone. Call them, then pray together. Temptation. Walk away, like Joseph. Walk away. Nowadays, temptation is almost everywhere. Even for me, temptation. Not just for you. You can see the World Bank in New York. The chairman was caught because he get involved sexual activities with young girl. Then he just be fired. So shame. And originally, he want to go back to France to elect president. To be elected for president. Right. And you see, turn out the news. So shameful, right? So shameful. So temptation not just for you, for every people, for all level of people, all work of society. So we have to pray together. Pray together, you and me. But the first thing, walk away. And we have to realize the temptations everywhere. It's so strong. So we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on the help of the Holy Spirit. Any questions for Peter? And chapter 3, during the sermon, we are talking about chapter 3. Hooray! And I finished the class now. I got a tongue twist. Speak English is tough for me. And on the sermon, I can speak Chinese. Hey, hooray! It's a good thing to me. Release. Okay, let's pray in silence.